Brother Glenn has asked us to read from Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Looking there in verse 14, as you're finding that scripture, thinking about that middle wall of partition that was broken down between the, so that we could come to Christ and be delivered from sin. I was just thinking of a little something that happened this summer. I was trying to break out a concrete thing in the ground. It was a form of some kind that was going to catch a mower. And I spent some time breaking that concrete thing out of the ground. And I didn't have all the right tools, but we got it out. And there was some satisfaction with getting that out. And I believe that God and Jesus was happy. There was fulfillment of the prophecies in there, and God is happy that he saved us. I mean, we read through the scriptures of all the times that Jesus talks about, but even though it was a sacrifice, what he did for us, it's hard to understand that. But there was some, you know, there was accomplishment there. And sometimes I think God allows us to have accomplishment in different little things like that to remind us of biblical truths. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For those who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see each of you in God's house. We have a privilege tonight to meet together as Christians under the lovely name of Jesus. I wonder how long we'll have it. But were you ever singing a hymn here at church and all of a sudden you realize what you sang? I did tonight. Number 387. For to me to live is Christ, to die is endless gain. For him I gladly bear the cross. And welcome, grief and pain. I sang that and it right away hit me. Did I mean that? Could I have sang that tonight if my loved ones would be being held captive in a hostile land? Where things are quite grim. I was actually scheduled tonight to preach expository from Luke. It would have been Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. We're not doing that. We had that last Sunday morning from Brother Dustin Martin from Matthew's account. He shared with us the Lord's Prayer. And so I thought that over, and at first I was going to do it, and I thought, that was just last Sunday morning, so we're going to go elsewhere. So here tonight, as Brother Andy read for us, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to the end. No longer strangers and foreigners. I want us to think about that thought. I want us to remember who we are, how blessed we are, how grateful we need to be, and thankful for Jesus Christ and His blood. Wherefore, remember. We find that in Scripture different times that we are to remember. Tonight, let's remember a little bit how bad it was, how horrible our condition was, how utterly hopeless our situation was, and how helpless we were to change that hopelessness. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Or weren't you in that deep of a pit? I know I was. And I actually think you were too. But do we remember? Tonight, the Bible is reminding us to remember. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Remember tonight, brothers and sisters, that in times past we were at enmity with God because we were of the world, and the world is the enemy of God, and if we love the world, we are no friend of God. The Bible makes it plain. So let's remember the past tonight. We were absolutely helpless to do anything about our hopeless situation, that we were headed for hell without hope in this world and no hope in the world to come. And Jesus Christ changed all that when He agreed with the Heavenly Father to bring a plan of redemption to fallen mankind. The Ephesians are to remember who, what, and where they were before becoming Christians. We also need to remember where we were in our miserable, wretched, lost condition before we became a Christian. Before Christ saved us. Before He pulled us up out of our horrible wretchedness and set us upon a rock. It should humble a Christian and keep us humble as we remember, and it should stir up one's thankfulness for all Christ has done for us. Think of what you have in Christ Jesus. When you are tempted to be pitied, have a self-pity party, when you are tempted to think negatively, think of what you have in Jesus Christ. It is so far more. Nothing in this world compares to it. The worldling out there who doesn't like the way things are, and we don't either, but they don't like the way things are because all their hope is in this life, and they at least want to have a good life here on earth, and the way things are, they're paying more for gas, they're paying more for food, and everything is going to go up more, and they are starting to despair, and they don't have hope, and they don't have peace. Do you have peace tonight? Are you at peace? Down deep. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. Most of the population of earth does not have that. But tonight, because you trust in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary and his shed blood, you have something that the world does not know anything of. And tonight, I just want us to remember where we were and where we are today. We should forever be humble, realizing that God reached down and lifted us up, or we'd have forever stayed down and went deeper and lower into the abyss. Think tonight of what you have. Remember tonight that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Gentiles in the flesh, they were living in the corruption of their old nature. Yeah, they were living under the law. Or, well, the Gentiles weren't, but the Jews were. They weren't even any better off, most of them. Who are called on circumcision. Ye who were in times past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called the own circumcision. Who called them the own circumcision? They were called that by that which was called circumcision. But it was derogatory. And it was meant to be cutting and belittling. It was meant to put down. They were basically considered adversaries, the Jew and the Gentile. They were called this by Jews who called themselves the circumcision. They called themselves the circumcision quite proudly. They were the chosen. They were the elite. They were the ones that had God on their side, not these Gentiles. The Jews meant this very derogatorily. They were also hypocritical Jews who thought themselves superior for their outward observances, which went no further than the outward. They thought themselves superior. They thought themselves really something because of their outward observances. Yet, this outward was all this type of person had. And that wasn't going to cut it after their appointment with death and then the judgment. Colossians chapter 2. And in number 402 tonight, we sang a phrase that really connects here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting on off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, hath made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And tonight, as you have trusted in Jesus Christ and confessed your sins to him and received him as your Savior, your sins were nailed to the cross. I believe that's how we sang it tonight in 402. Sins nailed to the cross. Do you realize how rich it is to read this scripture, having forgiven you all trespasses? There's not one that you have ever committed that he won't forgive and won't forgive me. That's some powerful and blessed scripture there in Colossians 2, 11 to 14. The operation of God there in verse 12, has he operated on you? You're not trying to reverse that operation, are you? Hope not. This is not one you ever want to reverse. It was not a mistake when you allowed Jesus Christ to operate on your wretched, sinful heart and transform you and give you the new birth. That was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And if it hasn't happened to you, you want it to. The operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. I love that scripture. Back to our text, Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now you who have been a Christian, and you're a Christian tonight, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be the most awful thing tonight, to be without Christ? Especially when this earth, this world, this life down here, there's nothing continuing. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Are you seeking one to come? At that time, it says in verse 12, that is before conversion. Before you said no to selfish you and said yes to Jesus, at that time you were not converted. You were at that time, I was without, at that time without Christ. I want to remind us tonight what a sad thing that is, to be without Christ. Don't ever let go of Christ. He loves you. He desires to love you right from here to eternity. You are a precious child of his. He shed his blood for you. He died a very cruel, painful death. He suffered separation from the Father because he loved you. But before that, we were without him. No knowledge no relationship with the Messiah. A deplorable state of the soul. To have no knowledge of Jesus. And yet that's where most people on this earth find themselves tonight. There are some that went to Haiti because there are many people there that do not know Christ. Keep praying for them. Pray for their captors. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, or aliens from the nation of Israel. Many were the benefits and privileges that citizens of a nation or of a state had that were withheld from foreigners. That seems to be radically changing where we live. But normally there are borders to a country, and if you're within that country as a citizen, you have special favors because you are a citizen. And those that are outside can only wish for them. Or if there's a program, a plan, and usually there is, to come in a legal way and then be a partaker of all that the citizens are enjoying. The Gentiles were aliens. They were strangers from the Jewish nation. Israel, of course, they were God's chosen nation. And so the Gentiles were without God's blessings. Strangers from the covenants of promise, there in verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world. Strangers from the covenants of promise, promises to God's chosen people, especially the promise of the Messiah and the salvation that he would bring. To this, the Gentile was a stranger. He was an alien, thus having no hope and without God in the world, as that verse ends. Verse 13. A wonderful little word can change it all. But when you're reading something and all of a sudden you come to the word, but now there might be hope. Something's going to change here in the reading. But far from God because of sin. Far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Far from God, deep in sin, no promise, no hope. But what a contrast. Oh, what a contrast. But then there is Jesus. Then there is Jesus Christ. Then there is the plan of salvation. Then there is the love of God. Then there is the grace of God, the mercy of God, God's forgiveness, a new beginning, a new creation in Christ. Born again. But, hallelujah, but Jesus Christ is our Savior. Made nigh, brought close, joined in fellowship with a holy God. How? By what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you'll ever be saved. No other. Tonight, my friend, my brother, my sister, it is by the blood of Christ. There is no other. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of who? Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. God's wrath for sin was satisfied in Christ's sufferings and death and in the shed blood. God's wrath for my sin, for your sin, was satisfied by the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. His sufferings, his death, his shed blood. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he, that is Jesus Christ, the righteous, there at the end of verse 1, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The power is so great, it's for everybody. It doesn't run out after several thousand take advantage of it. But it's just as powerful as ever for the next 1,000 and the next 10,000. Our propitiation. The one who took the wrath of God, satisfied his righteous, holy demand for payment for sin, satisfied that, became our propitiation. Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 to 6. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And I'm thankful tonight that I do not have to work my way into favor with God, because I'd never get there. I'd never make it. It would be a hopeless situation, and to hell I would go. I'm so thankful tonight that it is by the grace of God and faith in him, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but it is faith which worketh by love. Oh, tonight, had it not been for the old rugged cross, then forever my soul would be lost. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God tonight for Jesus. Thank God for his love. And that he counts you as a son and as a daughter. We've been adopted, you know that? We've been adopted. We've been adopted into the greatest family of all time. Adopted into the heavenly family. Adopted into the royal family where Jesus Christ is king. And he is the one that hath adopted us. He hath gone to the Father and said, I have adopted that horrible sinner Glenn because he hath trusted in my blood. He hath received me as a Savior. Accept him, Father. He's now part of our heavenly family. I have adopted him. Verse 14 of our text. For he is our peace, Jesus Christ, that is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. There was a wall dividing Jew and Gentile, and it was put there because the Gentile despised it. The Jew despised the Gentile and felt themselves so much better. They were enemies. They were despising and even hating each other. Jesus tore down the very thing that caused the enmity. The middle wall partition, the Mosaic law, the ceremonial law. By misusing that law, the Jew felt superior and looked down his nose at the Gentile. The Gentile resented the Jew's arrogance, and so we had this divide. And that's the wall we're talking about. They were divided. Verse 15, Father explains, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, by suffering in the flesh, Jesus removed the binding power of the ceremonial law, thus removing the cause of enmity. The ceremonies were fulfilled in Christ. Thus Christ formed one church of believers, Jew and Gentile, one new man, that is one Christian church. One Christian church. Romans chapter 5 talks about this peace. It's a precious item tonight. I trust you have it, and I believe you do. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. The world doesn't have it. It's precious tonight. We get a little too worked up. Okay, I'm talking about myself. I get a little too worked up when I see the political climate and the decay of this country, the godlessness and where we're headed. I get too worked up about that because I have peace with God. I have the peace of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. May I cling to that tonight, and may you. I trust we will. It's very precious, and it gets more precious. Maybe that's why all this trouble is going on. We need to know who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. Yes, we do. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You know, the individual sinner is also reconciled to God by the cross of Christ. Anyone who is apart from Christ tonight because of sin can be reconciled tonight. And so you know what? Christ tore down two walls. He tore down the wall that was between the Jew and the Gentile. And tonight, he tore a wall down that was high and thick that you could not see over, you could not jump over, between you and God. That wall was built of sin, iniquity, trespasses against our holy God. And in our trespasses and sins, we had a wall between us and God, and we had no power to do anything about it. But Jesus Christ hath torn that wall down. along with the wall between Jew and Gentile. Tonight, the question I would ask each of us, do any more walls of sin need torn down? Or, as we have backslid, have we allowed walls to start building up again, blocking out the very life of Christ from us? And do we need to rip them back down again so that we have full access and fellowship with our Savior? What is it in your life? What is it in mine? This life's going to soon end. And then what? We have a Savior. I trust he's precious to us. And he that hath this hope in him, 1 John chapter 2 or 3, he that hath this hope in himself is going to purify himself even as he is pure, because we want to see him and see him as he is. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Preached peace to both afar off. The afar off were the Gentiles. Those that were nigh were the Jews. But I tell you who else was afar off. It was you and it was me. It was every individual sinner before a holy God. We were afar off. We couldn't get near on our own. But through Jesus Christ, we come near. We come nigh and we have a relationship. And we're in the presence of God only because of Jesus. And that's amazing. Because we can't even comprehend how holy God is and how sinful we are. And yet we are in his presence. Yes, praise God, because of Jesus and his atonement. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Jesus all have access to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Thought I had it marked. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is one tonight, and his name is Jesus. There is no other. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Through Jesus, we all have access to God. And that verse 18 says, by one Spirit unto the Father. It's also by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Son and it's by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us a heart to actually come and strength and grace to stay there and serve God. We don't even stay there by our own strength. We stay there by the help and the strength and the grace of God. The wooing of the Spirit and the strength of the Spirit. We draw nigh to God through Jesus Christ by the help of the Spirit tonight. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Isn't that a sweet verse? No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I know it's referring to the Gentiles, and I know we are Gentiles. I also know we are sinners who were separated from a holy God. No more strangers, no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now therefore, because of the truths explained in the previous scriptures, no more strangers, no more foreigners, but citizens, all benefits and privileges of citizenship. First John chapter 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate, one who intercedes for another. What a tremendous privilege to have Jesus to intercede for us, to be our attorney. Verses 20 to 22 of our text, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In Oriental architecture, the cornerstone was most important. All Christians, including each one of us here tonight, are the superstructure of this spiritual dwelling place, this building, this church. Christians are a habitation. Christians are a dwelling place for God. One more scripture. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Never forget, it's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus Christ. And that's so comforting, because if any of it fell back on us, we'd be a miserable failure. But we do need to walk with him, and we need to live with him, and we need to choose the Spirit rather than the flesh. You know, this scripture I just read here, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does the Bible say? I think it's in Romans 13, 14. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what we need to do. We have our part. But we have a wonderful Savior. But we're called to holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Call the peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We have our part. We have our calling. It's a call to walk the road of holiness. But it's all by the grace of God. And he'll give us energy and he'll give us power to do what we need to do. And it's all him. God bless you.
Brother Glenn gave us some good reminders this evening that, you know, what we are in Christ and how we need to radiate that light to others around us. He mentioned about how we're kind of living in a dark time, and I heard someone say recently that it doesn't seem to be any black and white anymore. It's all one big gray area. And I thought of a devotional I read a while back. It was in the Beside the Still Waters. Maybe some of you get that. And it was a writer was saying how we are. He was using that scripture there in Matthew 5, how we're the light of the world. And you know, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You know, if you put a can or something over a candle, it's going to flicker and go out. And I believe what he was trying to say, if we don't witness, then we should. You know, eventually that light's going to go out. Now, remember he said, I don't know if I can get it right, but he said, may we never feel justified putting our candle under the bushel of our comfort zone. You know, we all have a comfort zone and sometimes it's hard to get out of that comfort zone. And I had to think, if we can't get out of our comfort zone when we're in church, how are we going to, when we're out in the world, how are we going to do that, get out of our comfort zone? And we need to let our light shine. Like, you know, we're supposed to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. Let's strive to do that. Let's stand for a word of prayer.